This is a nervous spot, I'll be honest with you. Sometimes I wonder if the floor is going to open up and the preacher's going to be gone. We need to be lowered sometimes. Let's pray, brother. Father, I do thank you for your goodness that you allowed me to be in your ministry. And Lord, I pray you use me tonight. I pray you use the words that I speak to touch these hearts. Father, I pray that they would be renewed, revived, and with this vision, Lord, of lost souls perishing. Lord, I ask you to help me. I thank you, Jesus. I want to first of all thank you, brethren. Words don't always express it, but I want to thank you for the fellowship that I've had. And I don't know, I might stick around another week. I still feel I need a little bit more recharging, but the Lord is my strength. But anyway, it's been good. I thank you, brethren, for your smiles and your blessings, your words, your corrections. We do need to get repolished, if that's not using that word wrong, but we need to get polished because we get dull, and being around you, brethren, do that. And I want to thank each and every one of y'all for that. I want to thank all of y'all women and men that have sacrificed your money and your time to support us on the field and to feed us here at the church and to keep us in your house, Fran, Howie. And we just thank the Lord that we've lived at home here. And we just want to thank y'all also for your sacrifice. Look, if you would, in Ezekiel 22, the Lord said back in Genesis, be fruitful and multiply. You know, before we look at the verse here, I got a burden, and I pray that the Lord would burden me more in this direction. And it's the direction that we need to be fruitful and multiply, but not just that, but that the laborers are few. You know, I think about, first of all, the church here. I see a need that this church would be fruitful, and I see that already, but to multiply. I think it's something that we need to pray more in that direction, that the Lord would multiply more souls in this church. Fruit also. But I thank the Lord for the fruit that's here. But laborers are few. I think you can ask any missionary that travels on the road. Maybe some have lost this vision, going down the same roads over and over again. But when they look over, sometimes to a little rancho or a big city, they go through a big city. I think in every missionary's life that's gone, and I think about the ones that go to Mexico, they've asked the question, is there a preacher there? But a real, real Bible believing, one that's saved and knows it, has eternal security, one that doesn't get off in a whole bunch of other stuff in these little ranchos in these towns. You know, sometimes I'm on that way to that big, pretty town of Morelia, and I look at some of these other little towns and say, am I in the right place? But you know what? I can only be in one place. I can only be in one place at a time. But you know, the fields are white. There is so many sinners in this world, so many lost people like you and I were, but don't have the light of the gospel. Don't have the light of God's truth that we have. And brethren, the mission conference is a time for me of refreshing, a time for me to just relax and let the Lord work. Even though it's my wife always reminds me it's His work, not mine. But you know, the mission conference also too is not just for me, but it's for us. And it's for you to be revived, you to be renewed in your vision of getting out and getting the gospel out. Look at Ezekiel 22:30. It says, and I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found none. You know, brethren, you at one time or another have found this light that this world is on the road to hell. God's going to destroy it. And I don't think we've really caught the vision. Until you see towns, places, apart from all the materialism, apart from all the what you see here in the United States, and I know some of y'all have seen it, but when you see this idolatry, you see the drunkards, and not just the sin, but people that are just plain out lost. I think about this blind lady that came to my house with her two children, with her eyes wide open, like if she had sight, and she could look right at me, and I knew she didn't have sight. In other words, I knew this lady was blind. I even visited her later, and her mother's blind. The lady came by, and brother, her house was filthy. It was tough. It's tough. I took my wife and another sister that day to deal with this blind lady, and it was tough. But what I want to get at, I don't want to go on rambling, is this, brethren. They're blind physically, spiritually. They're lost in their sins, and they need a man to stand in their gap. There's a gap, brother. I think there's a gap. There's a gap right here in San Antonio. There's plenty of work going out from here, and I'm thankful that in over the years that there's been more and more work going out in the gospel sense, but I think there might be just a little off balance. I think the gap here, maybe I'm wrong, I'm not the Lord, but it's filling up. It's filling up. Brother, he's looking for a man in a gap. The world, wherever you look, needs preachers.
Amen.
And I think, brother, it's a great thing to go to Alamo and preach. Go to the streets of San Antonio and preach. And it needs to be done. But if you see that that gap is filled, you need to start looking for another gap. I'll say that because not also that, sometimes we use the excuse, we go to Alamo, we're going to all the world because there's visitors from everywhere. And what am I saying? A lot of times we want the world to come to us. In other words, go ye in all the world. The command is go ye into all the world. Not to just let them come to our town and brother, what I'm trying to say is there's a gap in all the world. In all the world. I tell you, it's heartbreaking. Not just that, to be alone in a town, there's also more that can be done there. It says in 1, verse 1, and the word of the Lord came unto me saying, Son of man, prophesy against the prophets of Israel that prophesy. And say thou unto them that prophesy out of their own hearts, hear ye the word of the Lord, thus saith the Lord God. Thus saith the Lord God, woe unto the foolish prophets that follow their own spirit and have seen nothing. O Israel, thy prophets are like the foxes in the deserts. You have not gone up into the gaps, neither made up the hedge for the house of Israel to stand in the battle in the day of the Lord. Here was the command to go to the prophets of Israel, the men of God. Say, you have not gone in the gaps. Brother, sister, I want to tell you that you need to get up. Some of y'all need to get up. Make a decision. A clear-cut decision. I need to go somewhere else. I don't know what might be your reason for not going. Maybe you don't have the call. Maybe you don't have it. But you better be sure in your heart that you don't have it. You better be sure, and we're going to see a little bit more about that. Let's look at Psalms 106. How long has it been since there's been a missionary family that's gone out of this church? Maybe I lost track of the last one. I don't know. I think I was the last one. Either I or Michael. I don't remember. Karen and John. 2.5 years. Psalm 106, it says in 23, therefore he said that he would destroy them had not Moses his chosen stood before him in the breach to turn away his wrath lest he should destroy them. Brother, God is a God of love. He's a God of love that he paid the price. He paid the price. I know there's a lost sinner in here. I know there might be more than one lost sinner in here. Let me tell you, my friend, God paid the price for you that you might not die in your sins. That you would not die in your sins and pay all eternity in the lake of fire. God, the Lord Jesus Christ, came and he is your substitute if you'll just accept him. He paid your price, he was buried, and he rose again. That's the only good news there is. There is no other good news. Oh, you might think that the things of this world is good news. You might think the vanities of life. You might think what the world wants to offer you and your flesh is ecstasy. Let me tell you one thing, you're gonna thirst again. You're gonna thirst again. That the sin nature will never, never get satisfied.
Amen.
What you need is a satisfaction of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Put in his Holy Spirit in your heart. Because let me tell you, my friend, Let me tell you, this ain't another religion. This ain't another church. We might dress up a little starchy around here sometimes, sometimes regular. You might look at it any way you want to. But let me tell you, this is not a another religion. This is where we preach and we live, try to live for the Lord Jesus Christ. Why do we do it? Not to be saved, but because we are saved and for His glory. But God's going to destroy. God's going to destroy. I mean, it may, you know, if we look at it in a natural sense, looks like man is going to destroy his own self. But no, God's going to do the destroying. Man's going to do a lot of damage, but God is going to destroy. It says here, had not Moses chosen, his chosen stood before him in the breach to turn away his wrath, lest he should destroy them. Brother, there's something there. You know, it's God's mercy that he hasn't destroyed the United States of America. It's God's mercies that he hasn't destroyed some of these towns in Mexico and Poland and in the whole world, because there's some men standing in the breach. But are we going to stop sending out? Are we going to stop looking to stand in the breach and to see some souls, if not many souls, come to the Lord Jesus Christ? It's a sad, sad sight. You see the JW, you see the Jehovah Witnesses, how many there are of them. And I don't doubt that we are in the wrong and they are in the right. I don't doubt. There's nothing I have. There's no doubt there. But you know one thing? What is it that they have so many? And in the Catholicism and these other religions, but where are the preachers? Where are the Christian Bible-believing churches? Where are the men of God? Like someone shared his testimony. If you say you have eternal life, get out there and tell somebody. Yell it out of the streets. Do you have eternal life? Remember your first love? You got saved. You wanted to tell everybody. I thought my whole family was going to get saved. I thought my whole company there was going to get saved. Didn't happen that way. But you know what? I met with the truth. And I wanted to tell. I wanted to tell the people. Have we lost that desire? Maybe it's time to look for a new field. Maybe it's time to look for a new gap. Maybe it's time, you know, the farmers, I don't know much about farming. I'm not going to act like I do. But I don't know one thing. Once you farm a field over and over and over again, it don't always produce like it should. So it's time to look for a new field. Wait for that one to let that one set a while. Let it get enriched again, maybe. But brother, it might be time to look for a gap to fill. Look at Romans 15. Romans 15. The labors are few. That's one of my biggest quotes as I walk the streets there in Mexico. But it encourages me in one sense. Well, one, to pray for laborers. Another is because I'm in a good bunch in one sense. I'm one of the few. There's other missionaries here. There's some of the few. Would you enlist, like they say? Romans 15, look at this. Look what Paul says here, verse 20. Yea, so have I strived to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build upon another man's foundation. But as it is written, to whom he was not spoken of, they shall see, and they that have not heard shall understand. You know, fruit, you want to see fruit? Go to some people that have not heard. You know, I'm not saying it's wrong to preach and re-preach and keep re-preaching San Antonio, because sometimes, like it's been said around here, you just need to keep hitting that rock and keep hitting it. Brother, keep hitting that rock. And then maybe one day that water will flow. But you know what? There's a promise right here. This is God's word. This is not my word or anybody else's word. He has said here, first of all, he said, so have I strived. Not that he always has, but he strived to preach where the gospel, not where Christ was named. And then it says down at the bottom, well, it says, lest I should build upon another man's foundation. I wanted to say a little bit there. You know, think about that. Have you gone out like maybe Paul as a master builder? Not that we're master builders or we're apostles or anything like that, but to go plant another foundation, build another foundation. Or are you building on another man's foundation? You know, we gotta thank the Lord for the men He's put before us. And in a sense, you know, we're co-laborers together. You know, we're not gonna just go off on a limb and say, this is my work. No, we're co-laborers together. But there's foundations to be set now. Are we content to just re-preach and re-preach to those that the majority are hardened, not saying all. Are we looking for some that have not heard? Not heard. We got so many conveniences, so many good things, and they're not wrong, but we forget, with all these things, we forget really the real thing that men are dying every day. I saw a young man. It was one day me and Nathanael and Lorenzo, we took off to Uruapan, right there in Michoacan, and we took off to preach over there. Nathanael had some business to take care of. I said, let's go over there and let's preach. We went over there and we preached and whatever, had a good time of fellowship, came back, and as we were coming back, a young man, about the age of David, maybe a little older, this young man had his VW, and it was a rainy day, and, well, we didn't see the accident, but we saw the result of the accident. This young man hit head on with one of those Mercedes buses. You know what? To me, what was impacting about this was that whole VW in the front was crushed up all the way to where his legs and body were, but then it came to his head, didn't even touch it. Young man, clean cut, probably on his way to his girlfriend's house or who knows what, but he ain't living no more. Blood around his neck, nothing around his nose. The man was dead. And he was sitting upright, but he was dead. Brethren, I don't know, maybe it would take for you to see it, and y'all, I'm sure you witnessed death, but men are dying every day at your age. Any age, they're dying. And so what? Are we going to tell them? Are we going to tell them? Look at Acts 16. Acts 16. They're dying in their sins, brother. They're dying in confusion. Many walk the streets confused. They say, I don't even know whether to believe you, because you're just another one coming with another religion, another saying that you got the truth, you know. It's a battle out there. The battle, as been said before, is the souls of men. Acts 16, we need to catch a vision. Maybe not like Paul's, but look what it says in 9. Acts 16:9. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. These were men that in their hearts, they were sure. They didn't have no doubt. They caught a vision, and maybe in that time it was an actual vision, because there was many things like that in those times. But you know, brother, how about you? Do you maybe see somebody or a need out there that can be filled, a gap that can be filled? What do? They immediately endeavored. They didn't wait. Oh, we'll wait till next mission conference. We'll see if the Spirit hits me then. Brother, I wonder many times if Christians nowadays aren't living by feelings. Now, I ain't saying that God, He makes it clear in the heart. But you know what? One thing that I know for sure is without faith, it's impossible to please Him. And He wants to see our faith also. And we can demonstrate our faith, and I'm not saying that we're just going to go by this, but many doubt God that He'll take care of them or that He is calling them and not really assured, and maybe you're not living by faith and maybe you ought to not move. But if you have the faith, what God has done for you in your life to save you and to work in your life, and you have the same faith that He can bless you wherever you go, you need to get up. You need to get up and say, here I am. I'll go wherever you want me to go. You know, don't make a fast decision, but don't wait too long either. And look in Ecclesiastes 7. Sometimes a man is hindered. Not just a man, but sometimes a woman will hinder, will look for a reason. Now, maybe God's calling a woman. There's some women, I thank the Lord, that are standing in gaps, that are wanting to serve the Lord and have to. Look what it says here in this verse in Ecclesiastes 7:28. Which yet my soul seeketh, but I find not. One man among a thousand have I found, but a woman among all those have I not found. You know, I think about women. Now, I'm not talking so much of women getting up as singles, and I'm thankful for someone like Marty that's devoted many her years for this ministry, and maybe there's others like that. And I'm not trying to discourage it, no way. Don't get me wrong. But I want y'all to think about maybe women that hinder their husbands. Women that hinder their husbands. I've talked to some around her husband, and they say no. They say no. No. For whatever reason, they got the reason, but the woman says no. Well, you know, we're going to see a little bit about how a woman ought to be in a minute. But you know, are you like that? If your husband's being touched, are you the one that's holding him back? Could it be that the reason why there hadn't been maybe another man that's gotten up because his woman is holding him back? Here he says he didn't find not even one woman. You know, women, well, from the beginning, and I'm not trying to blame you like Adam might have seemed like he blamed Eve, but you know, they've been troublesome. They've been troublesome. Like the old saying, Brother Kincaid said around here, whoa, man. Whoa, man. Hey, I thank the Lord for the wife he's given me, but it ain't always sweet roses. I guarantee you. But you know what? Women have been troublesome. Really. You women can really, really do some great harm. Great harm. You're strong. Sometimes strong in the wrong way. You can discourage your husband. You can do circles around him, and you can get your way many times, and you do many times. I like these meetings. You know, men, we need to get a hold of our marriages again. We need to take control of these marriages again. Now, we don't need to be kings and dominants and domineers, but we need to be heads of the house. And I understand being head of the house sometimes means washing some dishes, means sweeping some floors and mopping and helping her out with the chores. Not always, though. But women, could you be a hindrance to your husband for him not standing in the gap? Look at Proverbs 31. Proverbs 31. We're going to stand before the Lord, brother. This is not just going to be another church meeting. God's going to count this day too. Everything that's done, everything that's said, everything that's whatever under the sun, God has it recorded. And this is not just somebody telling you some things that might sound bad or good or whatever. This is God's word. Women, look what it says in Proverbs 31:10. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband does safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. Woman, are you this virtuous woman? Or do you give your husband fits? It says in 12, she will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. That's one thing about women is sometimes, I mean, they'll do you good, brother. They'll do you good when they feel good. Well, what about when you're not feeling good? What about when things don't go right? What about when things in the school systems where you go to deal with these school systems or whatever it might be in life, and you come home and you let it out on your husband? It says here, now, we know we're not perfect and all that. I'm not trying to put you under law or nothing, but this is God's law and it's good. She will do him good and not evil all the days of his life. Not just sometimes, all the time. Now, husbands, I know, we need to dwell with them according to knowledge. You know what? I don't know my wife. Not 100%. I need to dwell with her according to knowledge. So do you. You need to know that wife. You need to know her needs. You need to fulfill her needs. You need to do your best. And maybe, and I think it will happen, she'll do you good and not evil all the days of your life. 23 of the same chapter says, her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. Woman, how's your husband known in the gates? How's he known? You know, you have a lot to do to represent him. You have a lot to do to represent your marriage, your testimony, and your life for Christ. You have a lot to do with it. It's an old worldly saying, I don't know, but behind every good man, there's a good woman. If you're going to be a good man, you're going to have a good woman behind you. Oh, I'll think about something that Nathaniel said over there in Spanish, but try to interpret it right now. Better go on. Real, real funny though, what he said. Anyway, that's it. Then it says in 25, strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. You might not rejoice right now, sister. You might not be rejoicing right now, but if you do this, you will rejoice. And it's coming right around the corner. 1 Corinthians 1. You know, many times I think a man that wants to serve the Lord might be hindered because there are some big standards put before him. Now, I understand that God wants some ready men. He wants some men that are ready and prepared. But you know what? God can use, well, he uses imperfect men anyway. I mean, are we going to wait till we're to a certain perfection before we'll go? I mean, you know, really. Look what it says here in 1 Corinthians 1, and it says in 26, For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. But you know, I see something here. God calls wise men. There's some wise men here. God calls some noblemen. There's some noblemen here. But he don't call too many. He calls regular people like you and I. Weak, maybe with fears, but men that have a desire to go and preach to this lost world. Men that want to tell others of the only thing that saves a man from hell. The only thing. So much garbage out there in religion that's got men so confused. And if you got the gospel down in your heart and you have a desire for others to understand this, you need to get out. God will teach you. God is capable. He uses men, but it's God's work. And he's working through all these men. Let's finish out in James 5. James 5. God wants us to be men of decision. Men that are decided, not double-minded. Oh, I'd like to go, but. Look what it says here in 12. But above all things, my brethren, swear not, neither by heaven, neither by the earth, neither by any other oath, but let your yea be yea, and your nay, nay, lest you fall into condemnation. It says, well, the Lord wills, maybe down the line, the Lord wills, I swear to heaven, or whatever. Or he says, swear not, neither by the earth. The Lord gives me life, more life maybe down the line. No, he says, let your yea be yea, and your nay be nay. If you know God's telling you, you need to be here working in San Antonio, whether woman or man or woman, and you know it, well, it's nay. It's nay not to go. You need to get that settled. But you know, if you know that God wants you somewhere else, and you know it, it needs to be yea. Yes or no. Let your yea be yea, and your nay be nay. Brethren, we have been doing this for a few years, at least I have, many others more than I have. For years, this conference has been going on. And I say this, that I know that it's not always easy to hear a message, go. But you know what you need to do? You need to ask the Lord to give you the yea or the nay. You need to get it settled. But don't forget, there's a need out there. If God's calling you to go, you get up and go. God will take care of you. If you see a need, fulfill it. If you see a gap, fill it.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.